Welcome to another episode of the Good Listening To Show, your life and times with me, Chris Grimes, the storytelling show that features The Clearing, where all good questions come to get asked and all good stories come to be told, and where all my guests have two things in common. They're all creative individuals and all with an interesting story to tell. There are some lovely storytelling metaphors, a clearing, a tree, a juicy storytelling exercise called 5-4-3-2-1, some alchemy, some gold, a cheeky bit of Shakespeare, and a cake. So it's all to play for. So yes, welcome to the Good Listening To Show, your life and times with me, Chris Grimes. Are you sitting comfortably? Then we shall begin. And begin we shall, furball with a slight frog in my throat as well. It's all going well in terms of the gremlins and the interweb. But welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to a very exciting, halcyon and happy day here in the Good Listening To Show clearing, because I'm absolutely delighted to welcome Richard Selwyn Barnett, otherwise known as the Emperor of Introductions. He's the founder of itswhoyouknow.com, pronounced Iwick. And I was introduced to the wonderful Richard Selwyn Barnett by the equally gorgeous king of networking, Mark Walmsley, who runs the Arts and Culture Network. And ever since I've been introduced to you, and I know your USP, Richard, which we can talk about in a moment, is you've been making, just to blow some happy smoke at you, unique, iconic, inspirational, and influential introductions since October 1985. It's only taken you 40 years to find this clearing. And ever since I met you a couple of weeks ago, you've been unleashing, and I thank you sincerely for it, a veritable tsunami of wonderful introductions. So yes, you are the dot connector, the emperor of introductions. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Good Listening To Show, Richard Selwyn Barnett.
Hey, lovely introduction, Chris. Good morning to you and everyone else listening. Sorry about the slightly slow start. We're here.
Lovely. And I got in touch with you just before 10, just to check you weren't doing a Father Ted, because you were about to go downstairs or upstairs with a cup of coffee. And I didn't want you to do a Father Ted and fall up or down the stairs. So I'm glad you didn't do that.
Well, we're in the room at the moment.
Yes. And this is a very enigmatic cinema room. Just talk us through where you decided to position yourself today in your wonderful house.
The house was built in 1790. When the boy, it's grade two listed with 55 stairs. It's on five stories. There are nine split levels. It went through a total refurb. And the first week I'm here, Chris, which is obviously April 2015, and I encounter one of the oldest theatres in the country called the Theatre Royal. Anyway, I go in. And I asked the guy in the foyer what's on tonight. And he said, we've got Jerry and the Pacemakers on. I went, oh, okay. Well, why don't you go backstage, tell Jerry Richards in the foyer, right? And he'll know who I am. Anyway, he comes out, he says, yes, Jerry will see you now, right? And he says, what are you doing here, kid? I knew him. And he said, yeah, he said, come backstage and you go. He said, but I want you to buy a ticket. So I said, oh, of course I'll buy a ticket. No problem. Me up in the circles on my own. I was in the empty circle. The stalls were full, you know, as in Lennon would have said, the cheap suits, right? And I wasn't rattling my jewellery. I was just like, you know, listening. And that was my first week in Margate, really. Ever since then, I have built the cinema room up. Yeah, so we've got thousands of films on DVD, VHS, Blu-ray.
Yes. The comedian in me has to ask, by the way, with Jerry and the Pacemakers, the sad demise of him a couple of years ago, was it his pacemaker that gave out? See what I did there.
I don't know. I never rang his wife, Pauline. You know, we around his house, obviously, and had tea and, you know, cakes and things like that. His wife, Pauline, was the best friend of Cilla Black growing up.
So just to let me position this show for you and for me and for the audience watching, this is the show, the Good Listening To Show, the show in which I invite movers, makers, shakers, mavericks, influencers, and also personal heroes into a clearing or serious happy place of my guests choosing, as they all share with us their story of distinction and genius. And you do have, you know, just listen to how you qualify for all of those, you know, ways of qualifying to be in the show. Fantastic. And it's the show that sets out to find out the story behind the story of being Entity X. And so I'm really intrigued to get you on the open road of finding out all about you, Richard. So going just back to basics, if somebody doesn't have a frame of reference for you being your super connector self, if someone says, hello, you look interesting and you've got an interesting shirt, so I know you've got a society around the fact you like to wear wonderful shirts, What's your way of avoiding or answering the question, what do you do, Richard Selwyn Barnett?
Well, the first answer is a one-word answer called introductions, but it's a lot more complex than that. And what it involves is introducing people that would never normally have met who I know, or if I don't know them personally, the rule is always 1 degree and nothing above 1 degree of separation, and bringing them together for a positive outcome. That's the simplistic explanation of introductions. But it revolved around lunch clubs, breakfast clubs, dinner clubs. And it was mainly started out in North London in the mid-80s, as you rightly say, at a pub called The Orange Tree, which a few people who've been to Totteridge, N20, North London will know. Totteridge is the Beverly Hills of North London. It's got the most exclusive homes. People in Hampstead and Highgate probably argue against that. But of course, I had also my networks working in those areas. I went out to Regent's Park, Notting Hill, Mayfair, Knightsbridge, Kensington. So I built up these one candle, the wick of a candle is lit, lights another wick of another candle lit, had the wick. And then in those days, we didn't have mobiles, we had no computers, no social media. We had to go out and physically meet people, talk to them on the landline.
Yeah.
And I worked in an estate agent's office of all places in Woodside Park, where I grew up, for a very nice chap. And after hours, I was on the key and lamp system. I don't remember that, where you could ring someone's landline, then you could put them on hold, and then you could put key number two down, ring another person's landline, put them on hold, and then you could merge the calls. So that was the initial introduction in 85. And it was an interesting one because it was nothing to do with Ed's table whatsoever. It was two property guys that I knew, both school friends. They would never have known each other had I not have done the pub introduction, which was my biggest hit of all time. And then a year later, I'm buying my first apartment. I'm 19, it's 86. A year after that, in October again, or just at the end of September, I'm flying to Hollywood. So things move quickly. And I realized that there's a power, like no other power out there, to actual, you know, really good introductions.
Hmm. And I've experienced that firsthand just in the last 2 weeks. I'm very aware that you have a sort of centrifugal force of just emanating connections. And as you say, it's not just 5 degrees of separation. You're talking about 1 degree of separation, which is a very intriguing proposition.
It came about in the very early 90s. I was on the phone to a friend of mine in New York. So I ring up Danny Elias. I say, hey, when are you coming back to London? Oh, he said, I'm busy in New York. He said, I'm on the set of a film. I'm working with Ian McKellen, wasn't Sir then, Stockard Channing, Rizzo from Greece, Will Smith, only known for The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, not that famous then, and think Sidney Poitier was involved in it, called 6 Degrees of Separation. Right? Going back 30 years, when we've got. So he said to me, you know, he said, and then I've got my own, I'm developing, I've got a really good idea for this Bounty Hunter television reality TV series. Actually, it did become later on in the years, in the 90s, I think it was, Dog the Bounty Hunter, world famous, franchised all over the place, big brand. And that was Daniel Elias. And he was my childhood friend from September, October 73. So he then said to me, well, you know, I'm going to give you the name Mr. One Degree. I never heard it before 92, 93. And I thought, okay. But it was coming from Daniel Elias, it was a beautiful, beautiful compliment.
So let's get you on the open road of the structure, because already you're giving me gold by the bucket load in terms of storytelling, which is what this is about, because it is a very much a storytelling construct. But what I'm going to do is curate you through the journey, which is, we're going to talk about clearing in a minute, which is a serious happy place of your choosing. Then there's going to be a lovely, juicy storytelling exercise called 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. There's going to be some alchemy, some gold, a couple of random squirrels, a golden baton, a cheeky bit of Shakespeare, and a cake. So it's all to play for. So we'll just keep storytelling and it'll keep on giving, as you already are, as we go through this. So let's just get you going. So Richard Selwyn Barnett, what is a clearing for you? Where is your serious happy place? Where do you go to get clutter-free, inspirational, and able to think?
Well, there's a variety of places. I'd start in the cinema, going to see a film, middle of the afternoon when the general public are at work. I would also be going to an art gallery or art galleries. Walking down on the beach, there's lots of sandy beaches down here. But before then, the clearing, you know, is it's about meditation, switching off, not thinking about anything, not answering your phones, you know. This room we're in now is part of the clearing, I guess.
Which is sort of a man den, cinema den, if you like, which is where you are now. Yeah. And the geography again is Margate, isn't it? That's right, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm the southeast coast of Kent, not far from Broadstairs and Ramsgate, and then go down to Dover and Folkestone, of course, to go across to France at Calais.
The fruit basket of England you're sitting in within your own cinema Mandan, which is great. So I know you gave me lots of different suggestions there, but which one should we fix on the cinema room you're sat in as being your serious happy place?
Well, we can start. Yes, of course. Let's keep it simple then.
So now what I need to do is arrive a bit Waiting for Godot-esque, a bit deliberately theatrical because of my hacking background. I'm going to arrive with a tree in your clearing and I'm going to shake your tree to see which storytelling apples fall out. How do you like these apples? And then this is where you've been kind enough to have thought about four things that have shaped you, three things that inspire you, two things that never fail to grab your attention. Oh, squirrels borrowed from the film Up. And then the one is a quirky or unusual fact about you, super connector, emperor of connection, Richard Selwyn Barnett. We couldn't possibly know about you until you tell us. It's not a memory test. So now I'm going to just back up a step. And now curate you through shaking the canopy of your tree as you see fit. So, first of all, four things that have shaped you, Richard.
Okay. Well, obviously, not being that academic at school, I had other interests. Let's say one being the people I met growing up. Of course, in the area I grew up in, which is Woodside Park or Lower Totteridge, as they used to call it. One of the guys was Daniel Elias. We just mentioned him before. He's in New York. He's a famous reality TV director, producer. So he was a great influence on me. He helped me. He was highly intelligent, very well connected, even back then. And we just got like a house on fire from when we were like 6 years old. So Daniel would be one guy who sort of shaped a little bit of me. However, I was always brought up to be extremely independent. You weren't going to be spoiled or get anything, really. You have to do everything for yourself, do your own thing kind of thing.
So, I was going to ask you, sorry to interrupt you, about Richard Selwyn Barnett. That does have a sort of aristocratic sort of handle to it.
Well, my mother was the only girl in the Selwyn family. It's a big family. So yeah. She wants to keep the name. And it's quite clumsy because it does flow a bit, but it is, people spell it wrong and stuff and get it wrong.
Yeah.
And then Barnett, my father, Brian Barnett, obviously married Angela Selwyn. And I was born a long, long time ago in 1967.
I'm ahead of you. I'm 1962, so both looking good, Tiger. Sorry, back to you.
Yeah, I think the 60s were a great era. We were obviously children or babies. The 70s especially shaped me a lot. I mean, the music, the films, the television, outdoor activities. I was looking, you know, back at some old photos and said, God, I was like, you know, super fit, super thin, obviously. So that's that really just the environment around me. And you get shaped by also mentors shape you, people that you look up to, or heroes or idols or role, could we call them role models, sure.
Yes.
And there were many, 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 many. I can tell you loads of stories, but again, it's probably for another show, but there was one guy who lived down the road who ended up being one of the top lawyers in this country. He started Oswan, one of the biggest entertainment lawyers in the world, probably. And when I was slipping around in the snow on my way to school one day, before I was, you know, like when I used to do public transport for Kiltshire, he gave me a lift in his brand new BMW. And he was a very nice guy. I never really spoke to him before. And we just kept in contact. His cousin was the drummer, one of the founders of the Tom Robinson band in the 70s. So he was a nice guy. He was useful. There was another accountant down the road who was the celebrity accountant for Chris Biggins. And, he'd been out in Hollywood in the 50s when he was a young man.
Christopher Biggins, by the way, has also guested in this show historically.
Yes, I saw that. I haven't listened to it yet. Yeah, I've seen that. Never met him. I mean, there's loads of people, Chris, obviously, that I haven't met. But I know the people who are, I'm still the one degree from everyone, really. And when we look around the cinema room, I looked at every single DVD and every VHS and every kind of director. What is my connection to all of these actors, directors and producers and writers? And there was always something.
Yes.
And I really, really held that special to my heart. You know, it's like, oh, my God, do I really know the musical director of this film? But yes, I do know them, actually, yeah.
And because I work a lot in comedy improvisation with an attitude of yes and, where if you say yes more in life, then occasionally, well, often if you say yes more, windows or doors on lubricated hinges can open up a lot more. It seems to me, in terms of resonance with how you've approached your life, is that you've just had your receptors super, I suppose, elevated about making connections. So would you say that's the sort of secret sauce or the currency of what you bring?
Well, I mean, the thing is, I have to answer it, really. My dream, of course, was to be in the Guinness Book of Records. But I couldn't run that fast. I certainly I wasn't the tallest guy in the world. But yeah, no, I was shaped by, or inspired and shaped both at the same time by other people around me.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Start your day the right way with Revive Active's range of super supplements and get the most out of life. Take one power-packed sachet mixed with water and enjoy a super tasty health drink at work, at home or on the go. Clean, premium ingredients scientifically formulated to work in synergy to optimize your health and well-being to support immunity, energy, joints, heart health and more. No filler, no stimulants, no artificial colours or preservatives. Just the right mix of vitamins, minerals, amino acids and hero ingredients to help you put back what life takes out. Try our 7-day or 30-day boxes and use code UKRADIO to get a free supplement shaker. Revive Active. Super supplements for a super you.
When you vacation with Norwegian Cruise Line, every day is a new day. Get a taste for Barcelona, then savor incredible dining options back on board one day. Connect to ancient history in Athens, and then disconnect completely in our spa another day. Wherever the sea breeze takes you, come aboard and experience a different tomorrow with NCL. Visit ncl.com, call your travel agent, or call 0333-336-1472. Norwegian Cruise Line, Ships Registry, the Bahamas and USA.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
And in researching you, I know that Julian Richer was a major inspiration for your
Seed. Yeah, my first job, of course, was $3,000 a year back in 84. Jan 84, I started working in the city. I had 3 months, you know, for my 17th birthday. I was 16 and a half or something. And I ended up working on the fifth floor of Adelaide House overlooking the River Thames. And then London Bridge and Bank were over there. Well, I crossed over London Bridge every lunchtime, hung out in Richer Sounds, listened to Julian Richer stories. The young Julian Richer at the time,
yep,
and the young Richard Selwyn Barnett.
We've got a franchise in Bristol, so I'm totally aware of who Julian Richer is, actually, yes.
He's one of the greatest entrepreneurs in Britain. I would put him above and beyond Richard Branson, not financially. So a saying that I developed, and it's still everybody I meet gets the same treatment. They get two questions. What's your most important commodity? Which obviously is your time, the time we're spending now, and the time we spend with our family and our friends and, you know, on our working sort of projects and lives. And the second question was, I always said, how do you define success? How do you measure success? So I think Julian Richer is the only guy I know in retail in the Guinness Book of Records.
Mm-hmm.
He did tell me, I'm going to be in the Guinness Book of Records one day. And I went, more or less, not dismissively, but I thought, I can't understand why. So, yes, Julian Richer is a major inspiration. And I met people around, like Dave Robinson, and I met a guy, James Johnson Flint, a Cambridge Audio guy, he lived in Monaco. But, yeah, that's one of the role models, yeah. And I think an early mentor of mine. And his Richard, do what you love doing, like, you know, turn a hobby into a business, immerse yourself in it fully, go above and beyond everybody else in that industry. Yeah, as you've done all your research, you see the good, the bad, and the ugly. You know you've got to be better than the best.
Yeah.
And this thing came naturally to me. You know, I was thinking, well, I may not win the running race and get gold or silver or bronze, but I can outmaneuver anyone. I can circumvent most people.
And I remember in researching you also that the other story about Julian Richard was saying that you don't need to reinvent the wheel, you just need to redesign it and do something that's going to just set you apart.
Which he was doing. You know, to reinvent the wheel, it's like lifting rocks up a hill.
Yeah.
Expensive and exact. But if you just look at what's out there and say, I can do it, you know, 1 degree better.
1% better. Yes. 1 degree better than Sisyphus and we're onto something.
You have to have.
So we're still in the canopy of the tree. We're talking about shaping. So anything else you want to say about specific elements of shapage for you?
Other than people that shape me or events that shape me.
I mean, round about once a decade, something pretty seismic tends to happen to us that shapes us. So your being a super connector has definitely shaped you, and you're being Mr. 1 degree.
I wasn't going to bear fools easily. I was always going to, you know, stand up for myself and what I believed in. Mm-hmm. And I have done ever since. I've been a bit outspoken at times. Like maybe I don't really regret it, but I can be. I had a saying about the neighborhood bully, for example. Basically, we had a neighborhood bully, like every suburb had one, who would scare everybody. He was actually a very scary character. And I said to everybody, look, don't wait around for the neighborhood bully to get you, beat you up, yeah? Preemptively strike the neighborhood bully when he's not expecting it. Then go and give friendly warnings to the neighborhood bully's friends and family and associates, yeah? What he got is coming to them. Now, I translated that into business. And right or wrongly, you know, I've done handshake deals for 39 years now. I've been ripped off 3 times in 39 years, which I think is quite good.
I think that's a great record.
I was always wanting to be ahead of the curve, ahead of the game, a visionary. And I wanted to introduce visionaries to icons. Does that make sense?
It does. Yeah, yeah. And I love the inversion of the school bully and turning it into a sort of business proposition. And also, because it's London, it makes you think of you taking on the Cray twins. Getting there first.
Well, I wasn't that stupid. No, I mean, I came across, Chris, in life, you come across colourful characters and people. And you keep them at arm's length, yeah? You can walk away, you can distance yourself from them. I mean, I had people wanting to come to the lunch club, and the jealousy it created between them and the envy was like, you know, it's like seven deadly sins here, right? So I invented something called the 11th Commandment. And it was based on a trip up north to buy a Porsche in 87. And a friend of mine came with me, who I will not name. Everyone knows him. He's passed away in Australia about 4 years ago, 4.5 years ago. He had a mouth and throat cancer, but he was a real character. And he came with me on the train journey and he said, look, I'm your bodyguard, right? You've got a lot of money on you. It's all cash. You're buying this Porsche, you know, something. We're going to Preston. We don't know the area. We don't know. And I said, well, okay, how are you going to protect me? And he opened the bag up and in the bag was quite a few, tools.
Yes.
So I then said to him, I said, for God's sake, his name begins with P, yeah, P, cool. I said, that's against the law, right? And he looked at me and he paused and he just looked at me. He was like sort of scoffing. And he said, I'm my own law. Now, that was the 11th commandment to me, right?
Okay, I get it.
Rules, the rule book, the playbooks, all these things are designed to keep you where they said the sky is the limit. They don't want you to go above that limit. They want you to get, maybe you can't go, but there are people out there who are not just stars, they're superstars. And above the superstar is the megastar, right?
And then the question on what goes beyond mega, mega. I just keep repeating the word mega.
So in my head, I had to translate all those things I'd heard and people I'd met, and decide where I was going to go. And it was down the introduction path. And initially, it was to do with sort of, you know, wealthy people who could meet other wealthy people. But it didn't last long with that. It became the good people meeting good people.
Yes,
and with positive outcomes, as I said originally. And there were sometimes negative outcomes and sometimes things fizzled out, never worked. Until I met Bill Morrow. That was, 2007, at a cocktail party in just Montague Street of Russell Square, who was the guy who inspired the Frankfurt Lunch Club with Teo Hendricks and Adrian Silas and Tony Klinger. And I went there with Nick East, my friend. I'm not going to mention Nick East, who ran Supreme Records in the 80s. He signed Princess and then Mel and Kim and had lots of hits. 3 degrees even. They did a thing called The Heaven I Need. Look it up. 1985, I think it was. And Nick said to Bill Morrow, hey, Bill, you come and meet Richard. And Richard, go and meet Bill. So Nick actually had one introduction in his life, and that was to Bill Morrow. Angel's Den, the world's greatest business angel investment network.
So ever since, this whole one degree of separation has just been, it's your super imperative, your purpose, which we're coming on to with Alchemy and Gold Run.
Chris, you know, you said superhero. It's a superpower. It's a magic. It's mystical. And I'll tell you something else. It can be quite spiritually satisfying. You sort of smile inside yourself and think, you know, I did that introduction and these things happened. Or I lit the touch paper, stood back, let the firework fly. And then it sort of, you know, sparkled. Or it could just fizzle out. And the wick of the candle.
Yes, also, coming full circle, back to the candle.
And the eye wick came where... I believed when I did my business card for the Funk Show Lunch Club, which I designed it with Terry Hendricks, obviously, daughter of the guitarist.
Mr. Jimmy.
Yeah. So she said, look, you know, this funky shirt thing, what about for girls? And I said, well, you know, you're the only female in the gang. What do you want to do? You want to design it? Do you free? So she designed this, you know, woman on the moon holding a flag, and it was a funky shirt flag. It was on the moon. Being that, and then the back of the business card was the sky is not the limit. I don't know if I've got one here, but anyway. And then I said to her, well, we're not going to do a website for it. It's strictly invitation only. We're certainly going to put our mobile numbers on and our names, but we're not going to have emails, right? I don't want emails, texts, websites. I don't, you know, I want old school. I want eye to eye contact, you know, face to face meetings, you know, small intimate lunches. Which is how I might be developing this since the mid-80s anyway. So I filtered it down to a very, you know, very, very select few, if you like, of inner circle people meeting other inner circle people. And that created so much envy and jealousy, Chris. You would not believe it.
Yes.
And I just said to everybody, look, we're going to gradually, you know, build the Function at Lunch Club into an events-based lunch club where you can come for tea at the Grove. My other happy place, my clearing, is the Grove Hotel, set in 300 acres in Watford, where I lived for about 15 years before I moved down to Margate. It's gorgeous, Chris. And, you know, we're going to meet there, hopefully, in the new year.
Well, I can't help remembering you've invited me to the one in January. So, hurrah! And funky shirts.
You're coming. But have you looked at a funky shirt?
I'll get a funky shirt. I'm quite proud of my Finisterre jacket I'm wearing, which is not that funky, but it's quite funky. Anyway, we're now, I think, in the structure of the show, onto three things that inspire you. If there's any overlap, don't worry. But now that's four things that have shaped you. We've covered that. Three things that inspire you. Anything else you'd like to say about that?
Three things that inspire me. Well, I think animals and the environment. So the amazing survival of some of the species that we look at. I love going out for nature trails with my daughter. Now she's 24 now, but back in the dog walking days and climbing trees and stuff, we used to go out to these incredible nature trails. Yeah, just the two of us.
One more thing you have, just getting to your story behind the story of your family situation, one daughter, or would you have other children?
I've got one daughter, and I get on very well with her mother, who's my ex. No problem at all. We're good friends. And my parents are still alive, still around. They're elderly, retired, but they're still around. And I go and see them every couple of weeks, 3 weeks now, as and when I'm needed.
And where's the mothership? What's the location of your parents? Where are they based?
They're based in Hertfordshire, just north of London. They're happy. They've got lots of nice neighbours, and they go lots of little... Dad still plays golf. He's a retired orthodontist, so I was never going to get a family business. I was never going to go into the medical profession, right? Dentistry, doctors. Not for me.
Sure. But super connected.
Just didn't fancy it anyway. But his disciplines, a lot of his discipline is in me. My mother's friendliness, of course. They're still married, which is quite rare nowadays. Have you still got your...
My dad very sadly died 3 months ago. He was 87. And in fact, I've got a series strand that I've crafted using this structure, which is about legacy life reflections, which I'll do an outro about at the very end. I'll very probably dedicate this episode to the memory of my father. But anyway, let's get back to you.
Quite a big family.
Yeah.
Certainly on the Selwyn side, super successful, including one billionaire. who didn't spread the wealth, unfortunately.
Right.
There's a reason for that. Guy in the film industry, he's at the very top of the game. But I might pass the golden baton on to him. You never know at the end of this. I've got about 20 people to pass the baton into.
And as I said at the beginning, I've never experienced the sort of tsunami of introductions that happened just based on the trust of when we first met because of Mark Walmsley's introduction.
Yeah.
And your vibe attracts your tribe and all that shablang, but I've never experienced...
Mark, he's got an arts and culture network, Christmas, which you're part of, and we're all part of it. He intends to, you know, grow that.
We now could be on to the squirrels, inspired by the film Up, where the dog goes, oh, squirrels, you know, what are your monsters of distraction? What never fails to grab you in your tracks? Squirrels. So what are Richard Selwyn Barnett's squirrels of distraction?
Oh, crikey. There's quite a few of them, actually. Oh, I love driving. I do like going on a road trip. And then when I'm on that road trip, let's just say, or a journey, I get distracted when I see a very nice restaurant or a pub. I pull in, you know.
That's a great distraction.
Other distractions could be, you know, I'm at a film festival, I meet someone who I've never met before, and I think, oh, I'm quite, you know, interested in having a chat to that person. What other distractions could there be?
And there's a currency of confidence in everything you're describing, whereby you'll just open a door and just say, can I speak to you? There's nothing holding you back in your super connecting capacity. That's something I noticed, the idea that you just open doors, and that I suppose the currency of confidence to just network and open the conversations is something that's stood you in very good stead.
Oh, definitely. I mean, it's created a lot of databases, what they're called nowadays. And they're valuable. I haven't done anything with them. I've never exploited them. I've never named names on them. LinkedIn obviously is a great way of connecting to me. And now more so, I'm doing the Instagram. I'm loving that.
The station that makes you feel good.
Stop suffering with pet-related allergies when near dogs and cats. Great news, you can feel safe around pets with Nasal Guard for pet lovers. Nasal Guard topical gel blocks pet dander, hair, and dust mites from entering your nasal passages. Try Nasal Guard for pet lovers today. Visit Amazon or nasalguard.co.uk to learn more about Nasal Guard spray and gel products. Again, that's nasalguard.co.uk.
Apples and pears, beef and skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Deck, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle Magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle Magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
So, what's your other squirrel of distraction, please?
I have a love of motorcycles, Chris. But that's the distraction. I mean, it's an easy distraction because I could get on a bike and just off I go. You know, I did Paris by motorcycle in 91, my 24th birthday. That is another show.
Yes.
But yeah, that was great, and I did the road trip with my friend John up to Kiel in North Germany sometime in October of 92 as well. On another bike. I get distracted by you know, come on a road trip, let's do it, right, drop everything. That was back in the day. Not much distracts me. I'm pretty focused, actually.
Sure thing. Okay, now a quirky or unusual fact about you. We couldn't possibly know about you until you tell us.
Right. I once skied down a black run age 10, which was very dangerous, and didn't crash till the very end and survived. That's boring fact, isn't it?
No, no one's ever said that before. No facts are necessarily boring.
Okay. Other facts, I'm a marksman, shooting ranges, and, you know, that was good. I got a good sort of visual thing with focus and balance and stuff like that. So skiing, so quite, but that's more the sporty side of it.
The marksman of connection, which is another iconic title for you. Getting people in the crosshairs of how you can connect them with one degree of separation.
I've got an incredible vinyl collection, which is in the opposite. It's down in the basement, the music room.
Okay, we have shaken your tree. Hurrah. Now we're going to stay in the clearing, which is in your Manden Cinema Den in Margate. And now we're going to talk about alchemy and gold. And you've been giving me this by the bucket load. In any case, when you're at purpose and in flow, and it's very implicit in how you've been answering anyway, but how would you say, what is your super imperative? What are you absolutely happiest doing in what you're here to reveal to the world?
Probably when I'm listening to a podcast in bed or driving and listening to a podcast. That's I'm really into audiobooks as well. Yeah.
And I've got some podcast back catalogue for you. We're about 250 episodes in, which is exciting. Okay, now we're going to award you with a cake, as previously advertised at the beginning, and you get to put a cherry on the cake now with stuff like, what's a favourite inspirational quote, Richard Selwyn Barnett, that's always given you succour and pulled you towards your future?
Success is measured by the size of the smile on your face at the end of every day.
Love that. Just say that again.
Success is measured by the size of the smile on your face at the end of every day. And the reason I said that is because everybody I grew up with, it was the big dick swing, because, you know, John's got this and Charles has got that and he's got a house in the South France, he's got a villa and he's got a boat and a Ferrari and all this. It was all materialistic. And who's got a bigger bank account, right? So I thought that's all right. Well, I created my own vision of success, and it was about being happy at the end of a day. And I went out with a girl who drove a Volkswagen Beetle convertible in Arizona, Scottsdale, of course. I'd met her in LA and we got friendly, and she said, my dad wrote one hit for Elvis and it's the biggest hit or something. Come meet my dad, you know, or meet my mum. They were split up at that time. And she picks me up at the airport in this convertible. And her mum lived in a kind of a normal sort of house in Scottsdale, but not the mansion bit. But the dad lived in a ranch in the desert, which was, that's when I found out about royalties in perpetuity, music publishing. I learned a lot from other people. This is back in 87. Anyway, so we had lunch with the dad and I stayed with the mother overnight. But what was really good was she said, you know, to be happy, she said, you know, because she was a hippie, basically, a blonde sort of, you know, Californian type hippie chick. She said, you know what? She said, Rich, just you've got two arms, two eyes, two legs, you know, you can breathe, you've got warmth, you've got people that love you, you know, you don't need all the material stuff, right? Because I was obviously walking around in my Gives and Hawks jacket, you know, from Savile Row. I think I had a Rolex watch on, you know what I mean? I was like Ray-Bans, I was kind of Mr. Cool, you know.
And I thought,
you know what? T-shirt and jeans, yeah? And that, again, started shaping me a bit about when you go to these meetings, and I was in the boardroom with the billionaire cousin once, and I turned up, and they were all in suits, these guys, yeah, in Marble Arch. What the hell am I doing here? And he said, come in, and, you know, I said, look, are you going to crack open the champagne now that I've arrived, as a joke? And he went, well, tea or coffee, you know, and there were these, like, sort of digestive biscuits. I thought, well, great, you know, this is how the billionaires roll, right? Okay, so it's not all about the money. So I then sort of, anyway, I got into the vibe of it, and you know, I was involved with it. And one of the guys came in, he said, you know, you can't park your sign-written Mercedes, yeah, outside our boutique hotel in the city. And I said, it's a public street. It's a Mercedes-Benz, not good enough outside your hotel, really? You're talking crap. Yeah. Plus the sign writing is advertising my database of MerckSeller.com, one of my most successful hobby businesses, by the way, which you haven't even touched on. And then I just thought, you know, why am I with you? So I got up, I sort of, like I did at the in the city, when I threw my tie on the desk and told the guy, you know, most powerful man in the city, don't f***. I thought the same thing with them. And I thought, you know what? I'm just going to do my own thing. So off I went. So I was never in the boardroom. I never had people around me, like an entourage of people that helped me. I did it all myself, Chris, all myself. I did it my way, Frank Sinatra once said.
The other thing
I've just remembered, this is the most important thing of the whole interview. When I heard the song by Bobby Womack, Across 110th Street, first heard it, yeah, probably the early 80s it would have been, maybe the late 70s. I remember the lyrics, and anyone who watches this interview should go and play Across 110th Street by Bobby Womack. It's about overcoming adversity, getting out of the ghetto. You know, you're a slave to sort of drug dealers and stuff, and you don't want to be, you know, society is trying to, you know, keep you in a box type thing. You want to break out of this, yeah. And that was an inspirational song, and the lyrics of songs are what shaped me.
Yes, okay.
Films and films is what shaped me. I'm coming back to your original question here.
Yes.
And so, yeah.
Okay, now, in terms of the structure, what's the best piece of advice you've ever been given?
Well, a great piece of advice, you get what you pay for. What you give is what you get, as in, you know, karma return type advice, yeah?
Reciprocity.
There's that, yeah. There's also, I mean, there's so many nuggets of gold advice.
We're now ramping up, finally, in a moment, to talk about Shakespeare, to talk about legacy. But just before we get there, this is the pass the golden baton moment, please. So now you've experienced this from within, who would you most like to pass the golden baton along to be given a damn good listening to in this way?
Mike McCartney, if he's available.
Mike McCartney, obviously brother of...
Friend of Roger McGough, and he was in a band called The Scaffold in the 60s with Roger McGough.
Yep.
And on one of their albums, I think they had Hendrix playing, and the guy from The Hollies, is it Graham Nash? He was singing about Jennifer Eccles.
That's a wonderful golden baton pass, thank you.
Mike McCartney, if we can't get him, we better have a plan B. We'd have to go to Richard McCann.
Richard McCann, thank you.
Yeah. And if he can't go to him, then we're going to have to go to John Altman.
Fine. I'll go to
like John Altman, who's the sixth or seventh Monty Python, the unofficial Monty the Python, yeah, part of the Pythons, let's say.
And when I first started this show about sort of 3.5-4 years ago, at the top of my tree, which you now know is the metaphor, was Sir Michael Palin. So the day I can speak to him as well, we'll all know that I've made it, which is wonderful. Stan Laurel is my all-time comic hero. And Michael Palin is obviously the sort of living new version, I quite like to think. Anyway, thank you for that. Now we're going to talk about Shakespeare and legacy. When all is said and done, Richard Selwyn Barnett, borrowed from the seven ages of man's speech, all the worlds of stage and all the billy players, how would you most like to be remembered?
As someone who helped a lot of others out, went above and beyond most people out there, was kind, generous, giving, you know, compassionate, had empathy, which is sorely lacking today. The opposite of indifference, whatever the word is. Unique, trend-setting, a maverick, a rebel with a cause. I could go on and on, but yeah.
That's a great summation.
By the way, yeah, might come across as that, but I'm not. No, helping others out, I think was the main thing. So selfless type of attitude to life and the career, and standing up to the bullies and circumventing. You know, if someone's in my way and I'm driving, I'm just going to go around them. Yeah, I'm not going to sit behind them. I just had a chat with a guy recently who a best-selling book, New York Best, Left of Boom, ex-CIA guy in LA, Doug Laux, LAUX, look him up. Add him on LinkedIn, everybody, DOUGLAUX, lovely fella. And he said to me, you know, one thing about his life and career was that basically he went on his instincts. You know, he was given a set of rules to follow, yeah, and laws and things like that, but he would always go on his instincts. And so I think, the saying you said about what's your favorite saying? Yeah.
Yeah.
Trust your own instincts, your gut feeling. That's a good way to live.
Yeah. And you mentioned LinkedIn there, which is a perfect segue to this section, which is called Show Us Your QR Code, Please. So if you've been listening to the show thus far, this is an opportunity to make sure you do connect to Richard Selwyn Barnett's LinkedIn profile, your opportunity to connect with the Super Connector. As this has been your moment in the sunshine in the good listening to show, Richard Selwyn Barnett, is there anything else you'd like to say?
Let's do a set part two, Chris, because there's so many stories that never came out during this episode.
And thank you for sticking to time as we have. I think the lovely sort of comedy of getting going, notwithstanding, and the sort of sound feedback we had. Thank you for being here this far. I'm just going to ask you one other question now. Where can we find out all about you? We know you've got your LinkedIn profile, but where else would you like to point us to? And I'll bring the QR up.
Very now on Instagram. Just my name without the hyphen, just Richard Selwyn Barnett. And then you can follow me, and I can then you can also click the love heart icon in the videos, which is a snapshot of my life. Has been compiling these kind of videos of my travels and people I knew and stuff like that. Or know, you know, and I'm building my Instagram. I mean, it's early days. Listen, it's great, and I'm putting some of my favourite music to it as well, right, Chris? You know.
And I saw there's an Elton John most recent up post as well, where he's on holiday, I think, in Ibiza. And
yeah, someone sent me that. Yeah, who? I don't know where it was. It might be in South, because he lives in the south of France as well. Mm. My cousin, who we might pass the golden baton one day to Andy Mason of Altitude Film, my cousin, very successful in the film industry. Anyway, he did a film with Elton and David Furnish, and it's called It's a Boy Girl Thing. It's up there somewhere. Well, I don't know where, but it's there.
DVD. In the archive. So to be continued, thank you so much. This is a show in which I described, you know, you can tell your story, amplify your brand, and also it gets pulled into my show on UK Health Radio, which has an audience reach across 54 countries of about 1.4 million listeners and growing. If you'd like a conversation about guesting too, here's another show as your QR code moment. But I'm going to play us out now with a series strand where I'm going to talk about legacy life reflections. As I mentioned, my father very sadly died at the age of 87, just over 3 months ago. And this is a series strand which invites you to tell the story of somebody near, dear, or close to you for posterity before it's too late. Just before I play this outro, is there anything else you'd like to say, Richard?
I want to dedicate this show to my dear, dear friend, Douglas Maxwell, who introduced me originally to Mike McCartney in the 90s. And he passed away 2 years ago in South Africa, and we had his memorial last May in Cornwall, where it was very poignant. And a lovely man, again, one in a billion, just like Quincy Jones.
Yes.
You know, everyone else in advertising zagged, Doug Maxwell zigged, you know, zigzag. The guy was a mentor, he was a hero, a role model. But then he also became my cheerleader, which was odd in the end. Right.
One degree of separation, what's so extraordinary is Mike McCartney's been introduced to me also by the Slapstick Festival here in Bristol. And there, I think you might already know that I'm coming for him, because there's going to be, Arvin Animations doing an episode with him in February.
After we finish this episode, I will give him a phone call and I'll let him know about you, Chris, because I think it's really important you do, you know, interview these people who are now, you know, in their latter years, let's say, right? I mean, he's got to be 80 this year, Mike, right? I was with him a year ago in his sitting room in Heswell, which is near Liverpool, having a, you know, cup of tea with him and chat with him and stuff like that. And he gave me a fantastic book that he did with Paul, an animated kids book, but it was really cool. And then also this very limited edition, all of his photos, unseen pictures and stuff like that he'd taken from the sort of 50s and 60s when they were kids. And it's all on my Instagram. So please, 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 Richard Selwyn Barnett without the hyphen, Instagram.
Wonderful. I'm just going to do the outro. And thank you for listening. I've been Chris Grimes. This has been Richard Selwyn Barnett. Thank you very much indeed. Good night.
You've been listening to The Good Listening To Show with me, Chris Grimes. If you'd like to be in the show too, or indeed gift an episode to capture the story of someone else with me as your host, then you can find out how, care of the series strands at the goodlisteningtoshow.com website. And one of these series strands is called Legacy Life Reflections. If you've been thinking about how to go about recording your life story or the life story of somebody close to you for posterity, but in a really interesting, effortless and creative way, then maybe The Good Listening To Show can help. Using the unique structure of the show, I'll be your host as together we take a trip down memory lane to record the 5, 4, 3, 2, 1 of either your or their life story. And then you can decide whether you go public or private with your episode. Get in touch if you'd like to find out more. Tune in next week for more stories from the clearing.
And don't forget to subscribe and review wherever you get your podcasts.